Celebrate the historic 100th Greeley Stampede, June 23rd through July 4th, featuring concerts, rodeo, carnival, and more. Tickets available at GreeleyStampede.org.
Got to remind everybody on this. Jade, you're down. You're coming, I think, right? April 28th, draft day, that Thursday. Thursday night, it starts at 6. I'm going to be live and on location. You guys ready for a marathon whole show? I'm going to be live and on location at Crazy Carl's, the one off of Timberline in Fort Collins. And I'm going to be going 6 to 10. We're going to have the draft going in there, of course, talking about it. I'm going to have CSU insiders on, Broncos insiders. We're hoping to get Trey McBride on the line. People are like, he's going to be at Crazy Carl's. I'm like, what? No, he's going to be draft. He's probably going to go in the first round. We're going to talk to Trey, though. Hopefully we get some CSU football guys out there. I'm going to reach out. Man, I got to tell you, Jades, I love Coach Norvell. He's awesome. I've interviewed him twice now, I think, or maybe once. But sign me up for whatever Matt Mummy's selling. That guy is fun to follow. He's cool. So I'm going to reach out to them personally and be like, hey, you guys want to come out draft night, party it up with Jades, who can just drink juice out of a juice box? A little Capri Sun? Or the Capri Sun or the box? Do you want to do the boxes?
I'm a Capri Sun type of guy.
Really? You don't want to? I like the boxes. They go fast, though. They go fast.
They both do.
Oh, yeah, man. You can plow through those bad boys.
Yeah, you down like 6 of them, and you're just like, you start to feel it. It's crazy.
So we went out yesterday to our guy. So we won the award, obviously. Clark Johnson and Mike Danson. Mike couldn't hang out with us. He's too good for us. Clark Johnson has won it. He won the best sports broadcast last year, like of a sports broadcast in major market, and he got second this year. And so 2 years in a row, he's been in the mix. And so, we went out, celebrated on a Monday, had a couple of beers, and of course, Jades came out with us, and, you had some water or something. You got pizza.
I'm the pizza guy.
You went and bought pizza and brought it. We went to Rule 105, and if their kitchen's not rolling, they'll let you snag a pizza and bring it in. And you're like, I'm bored. You guys are drinking a beer, and I'm going to go bring pizza. So, you know what? That was a big thing. It's a big move by you. It's a bold move.
Hey, well, the pizza's good. You can't not watch.
And then you didn't even take it home. Like, most people are like, I bought it, so I'm taking it home. And you left it there for us to feast on. Like, well, that was a stand-up move by you.
You can't watch baseball without pizza.
That's true. We went there. We had the Rockies game on. They win 1-0. Or no, sorry, they were up 1-0, and it felt like they should have been up like 7-0. Texas comes all the way back, then they go up 3-1. We have a crazy finish, but what can we say about C.J. Cron? This guy, right, so far, so good. Big part of why the Rockies are where they are. He blasted that monster home run the other day at Coors Field, and Jerry Schimmel, the voice of the Rockies, was on yesterday, said it's hard to hit home runs in that new stadium, and well, CJ found a way, didn't he? Here it is. There's another big time hit from CJ Cron.
So a runner at third, two outs for CJ Cron. And this ball's lined to center field, and it gets past the diving Adolis Garcia. Bryant scores, and CJ is heading towards third, and he is in there. The Rockies take a 1-0 lead. CJ Cron in the ninth inning in this 3-3 game will lead it off. This ball driven high and deep left center field. Get up and get out, C.J. Cron. The Rockies take a 4-3 lead. Connor Joe, two outs, no one on. The Rockies lead it 5-4. Connor Joe launches one deep left field. And this one is gone over the yellow line. That is a home run for Connor Joe, and the Rockies have a two-run lead.
So a couple of home runs there for the Rocks in a place that's probably going to be hard to get the job done. Controversial call late in that game, though, Jades. I mean, I'm not complaining. Bud Black did a good thing to challenge that, but that was rough there for a moment. I was a little worried.
Yeah, I agree. That was They were definitely in scoring position, and who knows what would have happened had he not have challenged that. But yeah. I just want to take a second to really acknowledge what Connor Joe has done.
Oh, Connor Joe, man.
He has been a step-up character, and I mean, I've listened to baseball podcasts. I wasn't surprised. I'm sure he's going to have a breakout year this year. He's batting .313 right now. I mean,
do you think it'll last, or is he like, is Connor Joe one of those guys where we're like really excited about him this month, maybe a little bit into next month, but he's going to kind of fizzle back down? Or do you think that this guy's the real deal that could keep up this juice? And I'm not, like, not that batting average juice, but he could be somebody fairly consistent this year.
I think that I have confidence in his bat. When he comes up to bat, I have no doubt that he's going to get the job done. I mean,
he just looks the part, doesn't he?
He does, and he just fits the Rockies organization so well. A young guy coming up with a couple of vets surrounding him. I mean, what more could you ask for in a baseball setting?
I mean, that's a great point. I'll be curious, though. I've had a lot of people asking me that. Like, do you think he's got, like, a novelty item type guy, or do you think he's going to stick? Because Rockies have had some of those guys in the past, you know? When April's rolling and things are looking good, they have a few guys where you just go, oh, they're really cool. It's like a Christmas tree ornament. It's exciting. But at the end of the day, they're going to kind of fade. But you're not feeling that. You're feeling good about him. I feel good about this team.
I really like him. I mean, last year he played 63 games and hit .285. I mean, that is a darn good rate. And,
yeah.
I mean, in his 16 plate appearances so far, he's only got 3 strikeouts.
Wow.
That's phenomenal strikeout rate.
Yeah. So you got him doing his thing. CJ Cron's doing his thing. You know, Chris Bryant's getting mucho involved.
Oh, Chris Bryant's on fire.
Holy. I mean, everybody's. Would they have 13 or 14 hits yesterday?
I think it was 13, I remember right.
Now, they win 6-4. It felt like it should have been 6-1, 6-0 right off the bat. And that was scary. But let me just say this. I heard Bruce Dick talking to Clark Johnson about this during Clark and the Coach. Coach was saying that game was typically a game the Rockies don't win, where they have all these opportunities early. They're still up, but they don't take advantage. They leave a lot of guys out on base. And then the Rangers get the lead. They go up 3-1, and you're thinking, okay, that's it. That we're just going to go, oh, that one got away. But the Rockies fought back. We go to extra innings, pulled off a controversial finish of a win. But he's right. Those are kind of typically games it feels like the Rockies lose.
I 100% agree. And I think last year that definitely could have been a loss. I mean, I don't know if it was a win because it's April or if it's a win because we have a better offense. In my opinion, it's a combination of both. The Rockies just play better ball in April, and obviously the team can put runs behind a pitcher. I mean, they did a phenomenal job. We had, you said it, double-digit hits, and I mean, so many
on
left
the road
on base.
Too. I mean, you're not in that hangover on the road. They struggled on the road early last year, right? So to get one, I know it's one game, but to get one quickly, and they'll play it again tonight against Texas. It's just a 2-game set, but they're guaranteed to split this one already. That was a bigger. Again, I look at baseball. I do this with basketball and hockey, too. I always like to weigh things. You know, in basketball and hockey, I like to go every 10 games. I like to evaluate that because it's hard to go one game and you evaluate 10. Baseball's probably closer to, you know, you want to evaluate 4 or 5 series. You take a look at those and see what the theme of this team is, how this team's really going. So, again, it's early, but there's great signs going forward. And again, beating the Dodgers, they won a series against the home series against the Dodgers in several years.
I took a look at the, I believe it was the CBS power rankings for the MLB yesterday, I believe. And the Rockies had jumped 10 spots in the power rankings.
So where do they sit? I didn't even look.
They were sitting 27. They're now 17.
Wow.
Still bottom half of the league. But, I mean, you keep on pace and you're looking darn good. I mean, the fact that they're already recognizing Colorado as a near average team when they were supposed to be bottom five is just ridiculous.
Well, again, I go back to, we already know Bud Black's good at what he does. Mysterio just texts in, says that's just good coaching. Yeah. Bud Black's good at what he does, but the management around this team hasn't been very good, and maybe you have that right now.
I think Bill Schmidt is a great person to have driving the ship.
Yeah, I think so. Chad Kuhl going tonight. So
I'm a fan.
Yeah, I mean, that was one of the big pickups this year, right? Or fairly big. You know, he's, what, the fifth pitcher in this rotation? So we'll see tonight. I'll see if they can pull this thing off and win another series. And then they get the day off tomorrow, just like that. So, so far, so good for Colorado.
Yeah, I 100% agree. And, you know, Austin Gomber last night, he looked great. I mean, I seriously think that his ceiling is so much higher than people give him credit for. I think he could be just as good, if not better, than Kyle Freeland. I like him over Senzatella any day. And
He was looking really good, and then he just had a bad inning, right?
Yeah, it was one bad inning. I mean, and that's exactly what happened to Walker Buehler, too. So, I mean...
Is that what... And Bub Black kind of seems like right now, he's going to pull guys out a little bit early because maybe he wants to see what he has with that bullpen.
It's a normal thing for a starter
to go
early.
And then early in the season. Because, again, I do think the Rockies, the unknown is that bullpen and what they're going to be able to do. Might as well test it out a little bit now when you have games that are still within reach and see what you're working with there for those key moments down the stretch.
Well, and as Jerry had said yesterday, I mean, their bullpen looks good right now. They look darn good.
Yeah. I mean, let's roll through this month of April. This is the month, you know, you got to take care of things. Pull ahead here. Pull ahead so when you do run into some stuff, which they will, they can at least have some room, some breathing room there. The Weld County Swami, the only scary thing is Blackman is struggling pretty bad. Yeah, he had 5 at-bats yesterday and nothing, right? Came up empty. Hopefully he hasn't lost a step or 12. Well, he's definitely lost a step. Just how many steps? I thought Jerry pointed it, you know, said it beautifully yesterday that he thinks that Charlie eventually will work really well in that DH role and will welcome it and will rise to that occasion. So that would be huge if he could. But I've been fearing that for a while with Blackman, certainly on the defensive side of the ball. Esai Chris, do you have to purchase like triple XL headsets for Tanner to do his show now? Yeah, that's the thing. It's the double-edged sword. We want the Rockies to go to the playoffs, but we know Tanner's going to be insufferable if that happens because he predicted it and he's doing the whole "you heard it here first" thing and all that stuff. So that's going to be fun, isn't it?
Yeah, it'll be something. But a little bit more on Blackman. I mean, I think it's just a slump. I don't think it's something that we should worry about right now. Happens to the best of them.
Not all going to hit right now. They're not all going to have great numbers. And bottom line is you got a lot of people with great numbers so far. So,
well, and there's young guys stepping up to fulfill his spot. I mean, he's batting .071.
Right.
So that's pretty atrocious.
Oh,
but
no doubt.
I don't think you have a lot to worry about with him. I mean, you'll get a .270 minimum average out of him, and he'll come into his zone, but it takes time. I mean, there's a lot of new guys on the team, but the other interesting thing is, who's the closer? I mean, we picked up Colum A as a closer, but, I mean, it looks like Daniel Bard has almost got the role.
Right, and Bard's kind of a fan favorite there, too, so it's good to see him rolling like that.
Why not?
17 minutes after the 1 o'clock hour, we got Mike Brohard coming up next from CSURams.com. Some movement within the transfer portal. Let's see where Mike's head is when it comes to Colorado State. Also, latest on spring ball from Mike. We'll talk to Mr. Brohard coming up next. It's the whole show powered by PDC Energy. We're live from the Allo Communications Studios. We'll be right back. It's the whole show powered by PDC Energy.
Want sports from the coach? Tune in to Clark and the Coach, weekdays at 11 on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Celebrate the historic 100th Greeley Stampede, June 23rd through July 4th, featuring concerts, rodeo, carnival, and more. Tickets available at GreeleyStampede.org.
Hey, this is Harrison Wynn with DNVR Nuggets. You're listening to the whole show on 1310 KFKA.
Minutes after the 1 o'clock hour. Welcome back into the whole show, powered by PDC Energy. Joining me now from CSURams.com, the man himself, Mike Brohard. Mike, my friend, I know you wanted to know what was going on with Jaden. It sounds like there's not a whole lot to tell. I was thinking he was going to be out Monday. I'm prepared for him to be out with his jury duty situation. And he just showed up at like 10 o'clock, like always, or 11 o'clock, whenever it was. So I was bummed we didn't get the full jury duty experience for him.
No, I mean, I had to check in with him right away just to find out how it went. And he says the same thing that happened to me. You know, you kind of show up, They put you on the side, and then they shoo you away. So, bummer for him. I mean, he didn't even get the chance to say, "No, hey, I'm Jaden. I work for the award-winning Hull Show. We're a major news organization in Northern Colorado." He didn't even get a fluff up his chest. You know?
They might have kicked him out for that right there, with as long as he connects the Hull Show thing, right?
No, they'd have looked at him and they would have said, "Oh, no, we can't have a journalist doing this."
Mike, appreciate you, man. I got a lot to pick your brain on for sure. I wasn't able to get out there Saturday with that first scrimmage, but I really wanted to get your thoughts. Obviously, the big thing that's going around, I'm on CSURams.com and I'm getting that amazing end zone catch there and this Clay Millen absolute beauty of a pass. So everybody's talking about that. That's a great thing. When you just have one play, everybody's going crazy about all over social media.
It's what generates excitement. The nice thing about that, if you're a member of the CSU coaching staff, you have Mel Kwan runs a great route, obviously makes a phenomenal catch. Clay Millen throws a perfect dime of a pass. But Taiwan Francis is beautiful coverage on that play. So everything you want as a coach is being done right. It's just one of those things where Mel Kwan made a play on the ball. It was sensational. And you generate some juice.
Yeah, it's a beauty of a picture. And I was seeing the videos online. You get the official in there, too. I mean, it was cool. And I think, again, having fans talk about that is such a big deal. And I know there's so much more and so many things that go into spring ball and building a football team. But when you can give fans that kind of stuff after, let's face it, after what we saw the last couple of years, it just seems like it's a breath of fresh air for everybody.
Yeah, it is. Well, it's something new. It's the shiny new toy underneath the Christmas tree. Everybody's loving it. I mean, you can go back and you're thinking of, hey, can these guys start breaking Garrett Grayson's records? Can these receivers start putting their name along a Michael Gallup, a Rashard Higgins, Preston Williams, Ola B.C. Johnson? You got all these guys that have just gone on to the NFL. Wide receiver U, it's all back. It's fun. It's shiny. It's new. And they're going to sling it. And they showed they're going to sling it a lot.
We're talking to Mike Brohard from CSURams.com. All right, so what you've seen, you've been out there all the time, Mike, seeing Clay Millen. That's the one, we always talk about the quarterback. Again, there's not taken away from all these other great players, because I'm sure, obviously, the wide receivers are going to be killing it. We're excited to see what this offensive line can do, but everyone's asking about that quarterback. Clay Millen sure seems like the guy. How good do you think this guy's going to be, even into this coming up on this first full year playing?
And that's the fun thing, and I think people have to keep that in mind. So Clay obviously has all the physical tools. I'm working on a story today. I was talking to Matt Mummy, who told me he's ahead of where Carson Strong was at this point in their careers. Now, you got to remember, everybody remembers who Carson Strong was as a senior. Clay Millen's going to be a redshirt freshman. This is the first time he's had since high school. He's been in control of the huddle. He's got to be the guy that everybody looks at. We're not just talking about the other 10 guys in the huddle. It's everybody on the sidelines. They got to believe that he's the guy. And so far, I think he's done that really, really well. And he feels really comfortable in that role. But, again, redshirt freshman, give him some time. He's going to make some mistakes. It's just natural. You're just going to. But he's doing everything right now, and that's what has people excited.
Yeah, and you're right. I mean, any quarterback, we'd be silly to just assume, man, it's going to be perfection next year. But I think you look at a guy like him, and you hear the coaches talk about him, and it's really hard, especially for me, Mike. I get over the top. I get really excited fast, and it's hard for me not to get really pumped. I cannot wait to see what he's about through the good times and the bad in this entire offense.
Yeah, you're kind of an overreaction guy, that?
I tend to do that, I don't know what it is. Just to get excited.
Do you like to jump into the deep end right off the bat?
Oh, all the time, man. When I was a kid, I used to do the shallow thing. But now I'm all deep end. I got to go for it, man. And Clay Millen, this is the deep end. We're going to go deep, all the time. And I'm pumped about it.
Yeah, I mean that's what, Jay Norvella said. He goes, the field is not 100, yards long. It's 120, and they use all 120 of it. The goal is to make the defense defend every blade of grass or turf on that 120 yards, and that puts pressure on them, and that's what they want their quarterback to do.
So what else stood out to you, Mike, on Saturday over the weekend?
I thought it was interesting. Things looked sharp, and so we talked to Jay about that, and that's what he was pleased with. The execution was high, not just from your first guys, but your second and third string guys. He thought the execution was really good. And I know Matt Mummy's been really pleased with his quarterback room and the way they've picked up this offense. He thinks they're doing it faster than he's ever seen. And that leads to, you know, part of one of the reasons this story I'm working on today. It's already done. We're just going to post it later. But they're using virtual reality. So you're seeing at practice, you know, the quarterback behind the play hold up a camera so they can see the whole thing. Well, they can put that in a virtual reality headset, and they can see everything. They can turn around. They can see the coaches to the right and behind them. They can look down and see where their feet were set. They can see everything in front. The quarterbacks are using it. The offensive line is using a different system, but it's the same concept. Theirs will use voice recognition to where they can get tested. Hey, when a defensive lineman does this, where should your hands be? You know, what's the proper motion? Should you punch? What should you do? They can get it right, and they can use that and grade it. And then if a player is dragging on one certain aspect, they can actually create through film just a basic lesson plan that they can take home, put into the headset, and go through it, you know, and learn that much more. And what they've seen is the accelerated learning curve of this group or those two groups and being able to pick up the system.
Yeah, and I saw some of the offensive line cam too. I thought that was cool because, yeah, it's a study tool for them to use, but they're, you know, you guys are also making it available for fans to see, I know, on the website, on the social medias. So to me, I look at that as like, man, you're killing two birds with one stone right there. You're using this to make yourself better, to make your team better, but the fans absolutely love that stuff.
I'll tell you what, I thought it was cool. So Bill Best had me put on the headset. And I was watching a Jacob Gardner play from center, and it was a pulling play. And you can hear him make the line calls and point out the mic and do this and that. And so the coaches can look at it and go, okay, you did call out the right mic or you didn't. And then you see it pull. And you go out, and when he gets ready to make contact with the defender, you actually feel like there's going to be some contact being made. It's really cool. It's kind of freaky. But, you know, like the offensive linemen, when they do it, they're supposed to work on their steps. They're supposed to be an active participant. You just hope that nobody goes home and knocks over their TV in the process.
Well, again, I think it's new stuff. It's fun stuff. Like you said, it's a lot of this excitement that's just surrounding the program. And I mean, this is what you want. It's spring ball right now. Let's build that up before we break and then be ready to rock and roll come fall. So I think, you know, everything's coming together nicely so far. And it's been fun to see. Mike, let's switch gears just a bit. Transfer portal stuff. It's on the basketball side of things. Just absolutely crazy. Crazy trying to keep track of everything. In your mind, a couple of shockers. I mean, Deshaun Thomas transfers. We're going to see him in the Big Sky Conference. UNC fans just love that, I'm sure. But Kendall Moore, I think that was the shocker, right? He says he's coming back, and then he decided, no, changed his mind, and he did enter the transfer portal. So kind of just wanted to get your thoughts there.
Yeah, I don't think that came as a total shock to the coaching staff. It's something that came up in the last couple of weeks. And when they were talking to Kendall, I don't know exact reasons. I mean, I ran into Kendall the other day in the hallway. We didn't talk about that because I hadn't seen the announcement as of yet. So I didn't know to ask him about it. But, you know, he's a young man with a lot of things going on in his life. He's a father. So there can be multiple reasons about why he makes the decision that he does. I mean, he was obviously a great player for Colorado State. They wish him the best in whatever he wants to do because he made a tremendous impact. I mean, you got to remember, he and Adam Thistlewood, both of them are leaving. You know, that was Nico's first class. They were the ones that helped set the tone to get this thing turned around. So there's a huge, you know, extension of gratitude to everything that they put into this program to help you get to where it is.
Yeah, no question. I mean, that was cool because you did see that kind of sentiment on social media. I mean, no ill will. It was all that kind of stuff, too. And it just goes to show you how special these young men, whether they're playing for the Rams or they're moving on or whatever, really are to this program. That all being said, Mike, you are seeing it. Our poll question today is asking if fans are concerned. And I'm not. Until Nico Medved proves otherwise, I'm never concerned about what this basketball team's doing. There's a lot of kids in the transfer portal still. Look what happened last year with Chandler Jacobs. But I know with David Roddy testing out the NBA draft process there, I would just say this. Fans are maybe a little uneasy at this point.
You mean you are. You're always concerned about everything.
I am. But that's why I have you on, because you got to help me with this, man. You're like my therapist. Talk me through this.
You're asking me to bring the calm. Okay,
yes,
I'm going to bring the calm.
Bring the calm.
Yeah. There's some spots open on this roster. And you also got to remember, they're not looking just for the right fit athletically. They're looking for the right fit culturally. And like you talked about, Kendall leaves, no ill will towards him at all, none whatsoever. They wish him the best. He did everything for this program. That's the kind of guys that you're looking for. You look at Chandler Jacobs when he came in last year. He was the right fit because of the person he was, too. So they're going to go ahead and they're going to find players that fit into this culture, fit into the scheme, and they're going to take their time and they're going to do it right because that's what they've been doing.
Talking to Mike Brohard.
Track record, Brady. It's all track record.
and that's what I'm saying, Mike. Again, talking to Mike Brohard, CSURams.com. If it was not Nico Medved, then yeah, maybe I'd be freaking out a little bit more, and you know that. I'll freak out. But with Medved and the staff, it is I will say this. They also bring the calm to me a little bit. So it is because of that staff that I'm going, you know what? I don't know who's out there. I don't know who's on their radar. But until they prove otherwise, I'm kind of thinking we're going to be okay.
Kind of thinking, or see again, you're a worrywart. That's what there is.
That's true.
How did your wife deal with this all the time?
Oh my goodness, she's happy I'm here right now. Let me just tell you that. You know, gets a break from me through the day.
Yeah. Well, I mean, if you're this constantly concerned about everything, I mean, you gotta wonder.
I am. Right? I mean, I'm concerned all the time, Mike. You know, and I have to do it. Somebody's got to do it, right?
Maybe Jaden can teach you some breathing exercises.
Maybe we've been working on it. You know, he did buy us pizza yesterday. That calmed everybody down pretty good. So that was nice.
That was good. Nice job, Jaden.
Jaden's doing a great job back there. Mike, my friend, I do appreciate you talking me off the ledge. You do bring the calm. And I'm going to plan to get out there Thursday. Didn't get a chance to make it today, but I'm going to try to get out there and see you, give you a big old hug on Thursday.
Is that what it is? You mean come and fight me and give me a big old...
That's the plan,
Is that how you expect me to calm you down?
Yes, that's the new thing. I just put a head on the shoulder and away we go. And it won't be weird at all. People will look at it and be fine. It'll be fine.
If you cry, I'm pushing you away.
Mike, my friend, appreciate you as always. I love your stuff. Keep up the good work, my friend.
Hey, you bet. And I would be remiss if I didn't say again, congratulations on your recognition and the award.
Mike, I appreciate it. I mean, it's like I told we had our Broncos guy on earlier today, and it's you guys, these great insiders that are out there, you know, pounding the ground, getting out there and bringing this great insight to the program. Couldn't do it without you, my friend.
Bring in the calm. That's all we're
bring doing. In the calm. I'm getting a T-shirt made, a Hawaiian T-shirt made of that, by the way.
That would be awesome. I would wear it, as you know.
All right, my man. There it is. Mike Brohard, CSURams.com. I feel like I'm not that. Am I that crazy here? Am I that concerned? I'm not that concerned, Jades. But a little concerned? I mean, Deshaun Thomas was a good piece. Kendall Moore, good piece. And Kendall Moore had some big moments late in that season. That Utah State game's coming to mind. But are those guys irreplaceable? Probably not. David Roddy is, though. So, like, if David Roddy doesn't come back and, you know, you don't get any big names that we know. And, again, a lot of times they're not big names until they're big names. We might see a couple of guys in the transfer portal that come to CSU. And maybe, I mean, Chandler Jacobs we thought would be a good piece, but he wasn't coming from a D1 school. So how are we supposed to know what kind of player he was? He turned out to be a hell of a player and a better guy. So Mike's right about that. Like, they're looking for the right guys that fit their program. They're not going to rush into this. And there's plenty of players in the transfer portal. The Kendall Moore thing just, I don't know, man. It just left a bad taste in my mouth. So how do you guys feel about it? Go vote at thewholeshow.com. Let's see where we are. Let's see where we are in this. It was 51% of the Hooligans saying yes. And now it's back to 50-50. So this is gone. It was like 80% yes this morning. And then it kind of calmed down. The no's started coming in. Mike Brohard calmed some people down, I'm guessing. And then they came in and said no. Now it's back to 50-50. So go vote at thewholeshow.com. Tell me what you think. 38 minutes after the hour, Nuggets, Golden State have some history. And it ended a certain Nuggets run a few years back with George Karl and Masai Ujiri and Danilo Gallinari, all that stuff. I want to talk about that and what it's going to take for Denver to be able to pull off the upset against the Golden State Warriors, at least game one on Saturday, and the entire series, 38 minutes after the hour. Let's jump out and get the latest on the local sports flash.
This is Brian Howell, Colorado Buffalo's beat writer for the Buff Zone, and you are listening to The Whole Show on 1310 KFKA.
Denver Nuggets, Golden State Warriors set game one coming up on Saturday night. That's in Golden State. It's going to be a battle. Steph Curry, I'm just counting on him to play. Are you going to be that totally shocked if Jamal Murray, if like we get the news on a Wednesday, like tomorrow or Thursday, that Jamal's going to play? Maybe. We got to hear from them, and I'm tight with some of the media guys for the Nuggets, like the beat writers over there. And Dempsey and Wingy and those guys. And they all say the same thing. Listen, it's gonna, when he's available to talk to the media, that's when you should start going, ooh, maybe. So far, I haven't seen that. So I'm counting on Steph Curry playing, and I'm not counting on Jamal. So it's going to be the Joker having to elevate his game even more. You're going to be needing Bones Highland to make some big plays. And, you know, Klay Thompson is going to pick this series to really get going. Ugh. Now, go all the way back. I'm going to take you back. Back when Jades was but a boy. Denver Golden State met in the first round. 2013. I think Golden State was the third seed. Denver was the sixth. Opposite. Denver was the third seed. Golden State was the sixth seed. Golden State was a nobody. They were nothing. Nobody cared about Steph Curry the way they do now, or Klay Thompson or Draymond Green. I mean, we knew of them. They were a good team and stuff, but nobody thought they were going to go absolute crazy. The Nuggets, on the other hand, were this very, very unorthodox team that George Karl really brought together. Masai Ujiri assembled, trading away Carmelo Anthony a few years ago, yet the Nuggets still maintained the playoffs. They still kept going to the playoffs, even without Melo. And their best players were Danilo Gallinari and Kenneth Faried, and Ty Lawson was there for stint, and Andre Miller, and Wilson Chandler. Corey Brewer. Remember Costa Kufis? Loved Costa Kufis. But the point is that team, like, they did a lot. I was rooting for them so hard because they didn't go out and buy a bunch of superstars, and they were still kind of a team. And they were able to make it to a third seed. They won 57 games. It was a franchise record. I think they'd only lost three home games that year. George Karl was named the head coach of the year. Masai Ujiri was named executive of the year. I mean, George Karl had only been out of the first round once in his time with the Nuggets. Never missed the playoffs, though. But he'd only been that past the first round. That we all thought this was going to be it. Danilo Gallinari goes down with a terrible knee injury. Few games left in the season, so you're going to be without him. And you go up against this Warriors team, you're thinking you can still beat them. Andre Iguodala was on that team, and remember all the stuff about him, perhaps always wanting to go to Golden State, so maybe didn't give it his all, who knows. But that series ended a lot of things. Denver won the first game. Andre Miller won with a last-second layup, putback or whatever. They won 97-95. Denver went on to lose the next three, you know, big one, 131-117. Curry starts going off. Curry had 30, 29, 31, and 22 in their four wins over Denver in that series. And that is when we started to recognize Steph Curry, Klay Thompson, and Draymond Green, the Splash Brothers with Thompson and Curry. And then they went on and lost to the Spurs. Ultimately, Golden State had arrived to the point where, okay, this is a legit team. We got to watch out. But they fired Mark Jackson, and then they hired Steve Kerr. And since then, they won, what, three titles? So they were kind of going in a different trajectory as the Nuggets were kind of like, George, if you don't get past the first round here, you're done. He didn't get past the first round, and Denver moved on. They fired George Karl. Masai Ujiri took the Toronto Raptors job. Not, you know, the Nuggets wanted him, but Toronto paid him more, so he went to Toronto. He got a championship there. Fired George, hired Brian Shaw, 2 years of train wreck. That led to Michael Malone. And ultimately, the guys like Jamal Murray and Gary Harris, who's not with this team, obviously, but was a big part of the building blocks, and Nikola Jokic. So it was a weird time back then, man. I mean, that series changed a lot of things for both franchises. That series, if the Nuggets would have won that series, who knows what happens? Does George Karl stick around another year? You never hire Brian Shaw in the first place. He would have gone somewhere else or whatever. But does Karl stick around? And are you with him for another 5 years? Do they still draft Nikola Jokic with the way? I mean, I personally would love to see what George Karl would do with the Joker, too. And not that Malone's done a bad thing, just I'm a big fan of both coaches. So can the Nuggets rewrite some history here? Maybe their trajectory this time around is going up. And Golden State's, their dynasty, is it fading a bit? Maybe we're going to get the opposite. But it's going to take even more special performances from the Joker, more than we've seen. And I don't know. Can he go another level? Can he raise it another level? It's hard to believe. He's already at the best. He's the MVP. He's going to be. He's also named the Western Conference Player of the Month. Giannis was named the Eastern Conference Player of the Month. So it's between Giannis and Joker now. Well, there's one common theme in the West. It's been Joker all year in the West. It's been Giannis and Joel Embiid in the East. 49 minutes after the hour, we're going to wrap up the show. We got play-in games tonight, right, Jades? We're starting that action. We got one play-in game. We'll look at that. I'll get you the full outline of things you should care about tonight on the Tube. It's the whole show powered by PDC Energy, live from the Allo Communications Studios. Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 at 1310 KFKI.
Unwind with a good afternoon guy, Brian Gary, weekdays at 3 p.m. on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
This is Christopher Dempsey, your Nuggets insider from Altitude Sports, and you are listening to the whole show on 1310 KFKA.
We got the good afternoon guy coming up at 3. Betting Across America starting up in just a bit here, so you can pay attention to those lines for tonight, you know, whether it's play-in action or Rockies action. We'll have Colorado Rockies taking on the Texas Rangers. That is 6:05. I believe the pregame show starts at 5:30. Here, he's still KFKA's Jerry Schimmel. Still going to be doing stuff with us. We believe he's still going to be the voice of the Bears on the UNC basketball side of things. So there you go. Big night tonight. Obviously, we said, you know, can the Rockies get win number 4 and take the series against Texas? It's just a 2-game series. Again, that game here on KFK at 6:05. And then you got the play-in game situation, which I've really grown to like this. And you got Cleveland and Brooklyn going at it at 5 o'clock on TNT. I know Brooklyn, they'll be playing with some heavy hearts for sure with what happened today, or this morning, I should say. And then you have the Clippers and Minnesota. The winners will lock up the 7th seed in the Eastern Conference and Western Conference. I'm going to go with Brooklyn to get the dub tonight. And Minnesota. How about that? They lock up 7. It's going to do it for us. We'll be back at it on a Wednesday. Good night, Northern Colorado.